A priest really doesn't have high expectations for a holiday weekend such as this. I've got 20-something relatives that are in town, and not a darn one of them showed up for church, so I'm glad that those of you who really love Jesus are here today. When I was in Haiti earlier this year, we visited two orphanages, and both places were distinctly different. Now, orphans in Haiti have been a constant and continual issue over the year. The poverty and disease there are part of the reason, but also the earthquake a couple of years ago has compounded that problem. One of the places, the Center Le Reconfort, was a church-sponsored orphanage outside of the city of Torbeck. We visited with the almost 80 children there and saw them attending classes at the on-site school, watched them play, but the intriguing thing about Le Reconfort were the accommodations. Every single building at this orphanage was made from shipping containers, boxcars, every single one. The tops were cut out of the boxcars, and thatch roofs were attached, and windows were cut out of the metal, and the boxcars were painted a bright white. And while that is certainly not a desirable way to live, it truly was better than many of the living accommodations that we saw elsewhere in Haiti. The boxcar dormitories were lined with bunk beds, and each bunk bed was nicely made and was literally filled with teddy bears and dolls. But that's not really why I'm sharing this story with you. The next day, we visited the Espère orphanage, also outside of Torbeck. Espère means hope in Haitian Creole. This was an incredible facility. It was developed and operated by the Roman Catholic Church and housed over 600 orphans. The priest in charge of the facility and his vice president of development, yes, vice president of development, proceeded to tell us in no uncertain and almost arrogant terms how things worked in Haiti and how they didn't. Seems like anybody who's ever worked on anything in Haiti somehow becomes an expert on how things are done, but that's another sermon. These gentlemen took us around the campus of this facility that included a working farm, dormitory housing, sports fields, an enormous chapel bigger than this building, all operating within their $1.3 million budget each year. They showed us the under-construction kitchen and dining hall that had a Haitian price tag of $2 million. It was overwhelming, and it was impressive, considering the poverty that surrounded it. There was no doubt in my mind that the Espère orphans were growing up in conditions far superior to anything we had seen elsewhere in Haiti. But again, that's not why I'm telling this story. Not only were the living conditions different between the two orphanages, but there were also tremendous differences in atmosphere. At Le Reconfort, there was a lot of play, a lot of group activities. I watched as an older woman prepared a meal on an open fire with a large group of girls surrounding her. And the woman spoke with great animation. And I don't know whether she was telling a story or whether she was teaching these girls how to cook, but whatever it was, the kids were absolutely captivated by whatever she was saying. At Espère, the boys were skateboarding in the chapel, in the church. And when we entered, the vice president of development let them know that in no uncertain terms, they needed to be somewhere else. At Le Reconfort, the kids were fascinated by having their pictures taken and looking at the photos on our cameras. They laughed and pointed, and I wondered, as I did many times during that trip, whether these kids had actually ever seen themselves before. At Espère, we couldn't walk more than 10 yards without a child coming up to one of us and asking for a dollar, only to be shooed away. At Le Reconfort, not a single child seemed to care when we were leaving. Whereas at Espère, I can't tell you how many times one of the kids said something to the effect of, "Take me with you." And that's why I'm sharing this story with you today. How can that be? How can the group living in boxcars be seemingly happy? and the group with the sprawling facility and the vice president of development seem so desperately to want to be adopted? I don't know the answer, and I don't want to oversimplify the possible reasons, but what I believe is that in a basic sense, the kids at Le Reconfort felt loved and cared for, and the kids at Espere felt in many ways alone. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells his disciples that he's leaving, but he will not leave them orphans. He says he will return. He says that while the rest of the world would not see him again, that the Spirit of God would abide with them, the Spirit of counsel and of truth, the Spirit of love. And his disciples don't get it. And who can blame them? The whole idea just simply doesn't make sense, does it? You have to remember that this whole gospel text is from the last discourse of Jesus as found in the Gospel of John, and it's part of the Last Supper. I have no doubt many of the disciples didn't understand why they were in Jerusalem in the first place. Things had been going pretty well in the countryside. They certainly didn't believe that one of them would actually betray him. They surely didn't understand why their leader would have to die as he had told them. Evidently, they didn't fully believe in the Easter promise, as the past few weeks we've heard readings about mistaken identities and Emmaus travelers and locked doors and doubting Thomases. And in this text, Jesus says he's sending his Spirit to be with them. Who can blame them for not understanding? And who among us could blame them for maybe not even believing? Yet 2,000 years later, it's easier, isn't it? We certainly understand and believe in the Holy Spirit, don't we? Don't we? Sometimes I wonder. Sometimes I question whether the church has done the Holy Spirit justice. If we haven't made what Jesus speaks of overly metaphorical. If flaming tongues and descending doves haven't made the Spirit nothing more than an ancient story in an ancient book. Many people proclaim the Holy Spirit as long as that Spirit is stagnant and constant. But God forbid that that Spirit should lead us to a new way of thinking or a new way of doing things, but that's another sermon too. Jesus says, I'll send you an advocate, the Spirit of love. You will not be orphans. I will abide with you. But you know what he said first? He first said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it is that love and obedience, and boy, we don't like that word obedience, do we? But that love and obedience that is the foundation and source from which the Spirit is sent. It's a love and obedience even when we don't understand what God is up to, even when we're uncertain about what God has become or where God is, that ultimately leads to an understanding, to a feeling, and not merely the human spirit at its best, but a conviction, to an inner certainty that we are not alone, that we are not orphans, that in some fashion or other that God is with us. And there is comfort in that place. There's a sense of wholeness there, a sense that there is light in the darkness no matter what happens and no matter what the immediate future may bring to us. Because when we love as Jesus loves us, that means quite simply that we forgive others the pain that they cause us, that we reach out to those different from us and those indifferent to us, even hostile to us, that we care even when we don't feel cared for, and it doesn't require that we always understand others or approve of their actions or decisions or lifestyles, and it most certainly doesn't require that they love us, though it's nice when they do. But it is in that divine engagement with another that makes it absolutely impossible to be alone. Maybe we're more like those disciples than we'd like to admit. Maybe we don't understand that loving and obeying God is the path to the Spirit. Maybe we're just simply looking for that Spirit in all the wrong places, because our Lord tells us that the Spirit is all around us. The Spirit is found wherever the work of Christ is done. The Spirit may look a lot like those we are called to love. And at times, the Spirit may even look a little bit like you and me. Because that Spirit is found anytime someone stands up for another, anytime someone acts like Jesus, and anytime someone bears the love of Christ to another. May our eyes ever be open to the gift of the Spirit, the Advocate, the Spirit of love that moves among us this day and every day. And just so you know, a team of our partners leave this week for another trip to Haiti. To date, between us and our partner parishes, over $30,000 has been raised to build this school in La Prete. The group leaving next week will be offering medical clinics at Incarnation Episcopal Church and school, and they will construct the very first water well in this village, this place the world seems to have forgotten. Additionally, toilets, outhouses, will be constructed at the school site, and the toilets will be only the second in the entire town. That water well that's built next week will provide the first clean water source ever in this town. Think about that. Think about it. In just over a week, the children of La Prete will have the very first clean cup of water they have ever had in their lives because of you. Jesus says, I'll send an advocate, the Spirit of love. You will not be orphans. I will abide with you. Who knew that that Spirit could change the world of a small village far away? Sometimes the Spirit looks like those we serve. Sometimes the Spirit looks like you and me. And sometimes the Spirit can even look like a cup of clean water. God love you. Amen.